Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Go with me to Proverbs chapter 24. I still remember the first time I read this scripture and it jumped out to me. You ever had a scripture just jump off the page to you and just grab you at the heart? And I remember when this scripture did this to me and I read it. And I have what I call life verses. And what I mean by a life verse is this: when I read something in the Word that I'm like, that's me. That's what God's called me to do. That's who God's called me to be. I write those scriptures down and I go back to them. And whenever I'm feeling discouraged, whenever I'm doubting, whenever I'm upset, I go back to those scriptures and they remind you that's who God has called you to be. That's what God has called you to do. And this is one of those passages for me. So I remember when I read it and it was so life-giving to me. And today as I was praying, this is where I felt like God led me. And it is, I am going to talk about what's going on in the world because I don't want to just stand up here and say a good sermon and give you definitions and give you, you know, well, the Hebrew means this and the Greek means that. Sometimes those help to understand the Word of God. But I think that the Word of God, when it's preached, it should speak to where we are and to where we're going and to what we're living in. So I'm going to speak a little bit about it, but I'm not going to get too political. But Proverbs chapter 24, verses 10 through 12 says this: if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? I love how this proverb was written thousands of years ago, but it is still more relevant than whatever's on primetime TV tonight. Seriously, I mean, it's amazing how the Word of God is so old, but it's so relevant. You know, in our world, old things they're usually not very relevant, but eventually they come back around, right? Like today, my brother-in-law, he walks in and he's got this lamp from the 1950s. And I was like, dude, that is cool. That is awesome. It's amazing what was cool in the 50s is now cool again when we see it. Now, maybe not everyone thinks it's cool, but I thought it was cool. But trends go around and they come back around. I mean, guys have mullets, right? Right now, okay? Have you seen this? Have you seen guys walking around with mullets? I mean, I had a mullet when I was 5, okay? And I remember I grew up in the 90s. I was born in 91. And it's funny because sometimes I said I wasn't going to get political, but sometimes I'll wear a hat that says Reagan Bush 84 on it. I just like that hat. And every time, it never fails, I'm not picking on you, Pastor Lauren, but someone about Pastor Lauren's age will always say, were you even born in 84? And I always say, no, sir, I didn't come along for another 7 years. But anyways, when I was 5, some friends of ours had had a baby and we went to Huntsville Hospital to visit them and they'd had a girl and my mom had bought a teddy bear that was pink and I was carrying the teddy bear to give to the child and I had a mullet. Okay, a nice mullet. And it was curly and wavy in the back. And I'm standing facing my mom and there's a gentleman behind me. And he says to my mom, that's a cute little girl you got there. Because my hair was long in the back and I had a pink teddy bear. And I turned around and I gave him the meanest look a 5-year-old could give anybody. And I said, I'm a boy. And we got out of the elevator. I looked at my mom and I said, we're cutting my hair. And we cut my hair. I believe it was that afternoon my grandfather cut my hair on his back porch because I didn't want to be mistaken as a girl anymore. So that was the end of my mullet. Mullets are back. It's amazing. I think they look great. I mean, MacGyver is just the coolest guy in the world. So mullets are great. But anyways, the Word of God stays relevant, right? Things were cool and they go away and things were trending and then they fade, but the Word of God is relevant. And this scripture, as I read it this morning, I was like, I cannot believe how relevant this scripture is. Well, I can, and I choose to believe how relevant this scripture is right now. And because the Word of God is miraculously powerful. You know why? Because it's alive. That's what the book of Hebrews says. It's alive and it's active. So it's not just alive, but it's moving, it's growing, it's breathing. It can teach us every single moment of every single day, and it's growing more and more powerful. So I realized that if we will be faithful to read it and obey it, we will always have the answers that life gives to us, that life presents to us. And I know that today's a sad day for a lot of people. I understand that, right? I mean, there's true discouragement. You voted for who you believed would be the best man to be put in office, and that person was not inaugurated today. I understand. There's sadness that comes with that. But I want to remind you once again, Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus is our King. Jesus is our Lord. And we have promises from the Word of God. So come hell or high water, like we sang earlier, He's still on the throne. He is faithful. He is able to deliver us, to protect us, to provide for us. And so we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to worry about. We submit to a higher power than Washington. Whether President Trump was in office or whether President Biden is in office, I've got to get used to calling him President Biden. I was telling Pastor Lauren that before because I want to respect the office. Just like I could not stand to hear the media call President Trump, Trump. It made me mad. Anybody else, it made me mad. Well, I don't want to be guilty of doing what I was angry at someone else for doing by calling President Biden, Biden. So, but, and I know I said I'm not going to get political, but listen, everybody's thinking about it. You're here. It's been on your mind all day. So just get over it if I talk about it. But when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you won't stand as a Republican. You won't stand as a Democrat. You won't stand as this or that. You'll only stand as a sheep or as a goat. That's what you'll stand as someone that has accepted Jesus, that he knows and you know him, or someone that he's going to have to look at and say, depart from me. I never knew you. You didn't visit me. You didn't feed me. You didn't clothe me. You have to depart from me. You called me Lord, Lord. You did great things in my name, but I'm sorry. I don't know who you are. So I say all that to say, don't get too caught up in the things of this world, because this world's not our home. We're just passing through. I love the old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. And you know what? The things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Remember, you were put here for now. You could have been born in 1892, but you weren't. You have running water in your house, and you have a toilet. You don't have to go outside in freezing weather to use the outhouse. So there are things to be thankful for about living in 2021. But he's put you here because he has a plan for you. And that plan is that you would let your light shine, that you would lead people to him. And I don't know about you, but I want to make a difference. I don't want to live just to accumulate things. I want to live to bring souls into the kingdom of God. And that's what this scripture is talking about. I want to lead people to Jesus. So listen to what Solomon said. He said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That word faint means to sink. Just like to get lower and lower, almost to, I picture to sink into depression, to sink into worry, to sink into doubt, to sink into fear. And he says, if you sink in the day of adversity, just like Peter sank when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to look at the waves, if you sink in the day of adversity, you're not as strong as you think you are. A lot of people think that they're big and they're bad because of this, but if you faint in the day of adversity, and listen, we're walking and living in days of adversity. Adversity means distress or tribulation. You know, I was thinking about it today. I said I wasn't going to get political, but I guess I really am. It's not political. It's just life. If your candidate not getting elected president causes you to sink down in discouragement, your strength is small. That's basically what it's saying. If President Biden getting inaugurated makes you go like this, I guess the world's going to end. I guess I'll just be sad. Then your strength is small. Because our strength doesn't come from a candidate, a political candidate. It comes from the Lord. It's easy to appear strong when there's no trouble, isn't it? I mean, it's easy. That's like the guy that's all big and bad, and then you throw a punch and he starts running away, right? And he's scared. And that's what a lot of Christians are, is acting big and bad, you know, coming in. But all of a sudden, things start looking like what's happening now, and everybody begins to sink into discouragement, sink into worry, sink into doubt, sink into fear. It's easy to appear strong when there's no tribulation, when there's no stress, but when the rubber meets the road and when things get real, your true colors begin to shine. right? But I don't know about y'all. My family literally had the most blessed and the best 2020 of our entire life. And I believe that's true for everybody here. I've seen it. I've seen people growing. I've seen you've kept such joy through the midst of 2020. I mean, I'm just amazed at this church and the way that everybody's had such a good attitude. But I believe that we go from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from strength to strength. And so 2021 is going to be even better. Sometimes it's in the hardest times that you have the greatest moments. And I believe that that's where we're headed. Challenges are an opportunity to grow stronger. So we should realize, I'm not going to sink down. I'm not going to shrink back. In fact, here's what Hebrews 10:39 says. We are not of those who draw back to perdition. We aren't. That's not in our nature. It's not in our DNA. It's not who God created us to be. We are not of those people who sink in the day of adversity because our strength is small. We are those who press on. The Bible says, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. I'm not looking back to, well, at least we had 4 good years with President Trump. I'm looking forward to the fact that God is still in control. I'm still serving him. He's still the Lord of my life. He's still the shepherd of my soul, and everything's going to be okay. We are not of those who's draw back to perdition, but of those who believe even to the saving of the soul, meaning we're pressing on. As the great poet said, don't stop believing. That's some good poetry right there. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You know what it's literally referencing to? I talked about it a couple Sunday mornings ago. It's talking about when he had to go to the mountain of God and sacrifice his only son. He believed God and it was counted to him in righteousness, not in the good times, but in the bad times. When his strength didn't fail in the day of adversity because it was strong, but he believed God. And because he believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. And God wants you to have strength, not just in your physical body, but in your spirit, in your mind, in your emotions. That's why he's saying, if you faint, he's not saying it as you're probably going to fail. He's saying, I want you to be strong so you don't sink back, so you don't fail, so you don't draw back, so that you don't succumb to discouragement and to depression and to fear and to hatred and to anger. So don't be controlled by the things that are happening in the world. Press into him. Find your strength in him. Remember what God told Paul in the book of I think it's 2 Corinthians. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect. I think it's actually in 1 Corinthians. My strength is made perfect. No, it's in 2. Even in your weakness. Even in your weakness, meaning God's not saying you got to be stronger, you got to be stronger. He's saying you got to press into my strength. Because if it was up to our strength, no matter how strong we make our body, no matter how much we study psychology and try to strengthen our mind and strengthen our emotions, true strength can only come from God, from tapping into him. Like David said in Psalm chapter 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God, the secret is to get alone with God and let him renew your strength. Isaiah 51, I was talking with Pastor DJ today in Scottsboro, and he was referencing Isaiah where he says, you shall mount up with wings like eagles. You shall run and not faint. You shall walk and not grow weary. Showing us sometimes you're going to have to run. Sometimes you're going to have to walk. But when you do, you're going to have the strength. And he said he was driving the other day to buy something off of Facebook Marketplace. Because listen, this guy buys more stuff off Facebook Marketplace than anybody I've ever met in my entire life. My wife laughs because it's true. Every single time I talk to him, hey, DJ, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to go pick up something that Lauren bought on Facebook Marketplace. I'm like, goodness gracious, man. Man, you should turn this into a business. But anyways, he was going to buy something and he said he saw this humongous bird in this field and he's driving and he starts looking at it and he starts slowing down and he's like, is that like a crane or what is that? And it begins to spread its wings and it's a bald eagle and it had the white head and the white tail. And he said it got up and it began to fly and it just took up. And it reminded me that about 8 or 9 months ago, I was driving from my house. We lived over towards Gunnersville, towards the church in Scottsboro. And all of a sudden, a bald eagle swooped down right in front of my truck. And my boys and I freaked out because Judah loves eagles. And I do too. They're amazing animals. And it was just so cool to see one. And he said he looked it up. And I'm just chasing rabbits here now. But Pastor DJ said he looked up, there's only 150 bald eagles in Alabama. And he happened to see one. And the Lord began to speak to him about mounting up on wings like eagles. And that's what we're going to do in this time, is those promises don't go away just because we're facing times of adversity. Our strength is going to be renewed. It's going to be made whole. It's going to be made well. And Jesus said this. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. There's so many people that are worrying about tomorrow. He did not say, don't prepare for tomorrow. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. There's a difference. God's been speaking to us about being more prepared, being more prepared. Whether that's a tornado or whether that is our economy crashing, whatever it is, I want to be more prepared. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to take care. So Jesus didn't say, don't prepare for tomorrow. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Because you can prepare in a worried state, or you can prepare knowing whatever happens, God's in control. God's going to provide. I'm going to do my part and trust him with the rest. So Jesus said, today has enough trouble for its own. Today is enough for today. I mean, I don't know about you, but I couldn't live 2 days at once. I can only handle one at a time. But our hope is not in tomorrow. Our hope is not in the fact that 4 years we get to vote again. Because, listen, so many people are fraud, fraud, fraud. Well, you don't think that if you think that there was fraud, you don't think they're going to try it again if they thought they got away with it this time? So your hope is not in the fact that you get to vote again. It doesn't mean we should stop voting. I'm not advocating stop voting. But our hope is in Christ alone. And in fact, the book of Hebrews says we have this hope as an anchor of our souls, meaning our souls shouldn't drift away over into worry and fear, but we should stay anchored in Christ. But we are living in days of adversity. But thanks to God, we can live in his strength that he gives so that we don't shrink back, but we press on to the saving of the soul. So don't faint. You know why? Don't sink. Don't faint. Here's why. Because God has a mission for us. Here's the mission. Deliver those who are drawn towards death and hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. That's what I want to do with my life. I want to deliver people who are being drawn towards death. I want to hold back those that are stumbling towards the slaughter. And interestingly enough, the word deliver in Hebrew is the same word for plunder. Okay? Plunder and deliver are the exact same word. Like, when the Israelites left Egypt, Moses told them by word of God, he said, have the women request of their neighbors the silver and the gold. And then when they left, it says, so the Israelites plundered the Egyptians of all of their silver and gold. That word plundered is the same word that we find here when the proverb says, deliver those who are being led or drawn away to death or to the slaughter. So it means to take goods away from someone by force. So what that means is when we deliver someone from a lifestyle of sin, we're not just adding to the kingdom, but we're plundering from the kingdom of the enemy. We are stealing a soul from the jaws of the enemy. Also, when I was talking to Pastor DJ, man, I should have just had him come preach. When I was talking to Pastor DJ today, he told me a story. I was telling him we're getting chickens, okay? I've been talking to Pastor Lauren about this. We're getting chickens, which is just hilarious that we're getting chickens because true story, I think I've shared this before, I'm scared to death of birds. I don't like birds and I don't know why. Don't ask me why. I just don't. But I feel like if they come in the form of chicks and I watch them grow, maybe it'll be better. I don't know. But anyways, I'm not scared of birds outside. I'm scared of birds inside. Okay. I don't know. Anyways, I'm telling Pastor DJ about this and he's like, oh man, funny story. My brother, Cameron, DJ's brother, has a huge dog whose name is Bear. Okay. I mean, you don't name a dog Bear unless like it's a beast of a dog, right? And he said their neighbors got chickens and they found out that Bear likes chicken because the other day Bear wanted to come inside and Kristen, Cameron's wife, opens the door and Bear has a chicken in his mouth, but it's still alive and it's still flapping. And so the neighbor chases the dog into their house and says, he's got my chicken. She's like, can I get it? And he opens his mouth and the chicken is fine. And she took it and they checked on the chicken and the chicken's fine. Like, but it made me think about this, that's the enemy has souls in his grasp But we have the opportunity to plunder a soul from the jaws of the enemy, just like that woman. She chased into that house, and because she was protecting her chicken, she was taking care of her property. And those souls that are in the mouth of the enemy, they belong to God. He created them. He loved them. He would that none would perish. And he wants us to plunder from the enemy the souls that the enemy is trying to drag away to hell. You know what the devil wants more than anything? He wants to be worshiped, and he wants to take people's souls to hell with him. He doesn't want to go to hell by himself. So when we deliver those who are drawn towards death, we're plundering the camp of the enemy. We're taking a soul that he thought he had secured, and we're wreaking havoc on him. We're making him so mad. We're just irritating him, and I love that. We have to realize, though, the severity of what's at stake. Because it's not just about that. It's that if someone doesn't accept Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. And we've got to come back to that stark reality, because America has painted this picture of Christianity that's not true Christianity. That because you said a prayer, because you're a good person, or because mama and daddy had you baptized when you were a baby, that you're going to go to heaven. But the Bible says the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And that we have to confess with our mouth ourselves. Not mom and daddy told me about Jesus, but we have to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart unto salvation. And so we have to realize there's no other alternate route. I know that you believe that, but we have to see that for other people. Realize your neighbor isn't getting to heaven just because they don't cuss and they don't smoke and they don't drink. The only way they're going to get to heaven is if they accept Jesus Christ. You see, you weren't put here just to be a good person, live a good life, be a church member, and have a good time. God is saying, don't faint. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know there's adversity. I know there's tribulation. I know it's getting difficult, but don't faint. Focus on plundering the camp of the enemy. Focus on taking away the souls that are being drawn away. Deliver, save those who are being drawn away to hell. You see, Jesus actually fulfilled this scripture in that after the work of the cross, before he was resurrected, when he was in the earth for 3 days, he went to hell and preached the gospel. A lot of people don't understand that, don't see that. You can find it in one of Peter's epistles. It says that he literally went to hell and preached the gospel. It's when he's talking about Noah. It says that he went into the pit of the earth. Jesus went to hell and he preached the gospels. Because I love this. I heard a preacher say one time, the devil's so defeated he doesn't even have the keys to his own house. You know how I know that? Jesus has the keys to death, to hell, and to the grave. Okay, so Jesus has the keys to hell, that he went down there because they didn't have the preaching of the cross. They didn't have the opportunity. And so God would that none would perish. So he sent Jesus even to those that perished in the flood that didn't have the opportunity to get right before they died. And he preached the gospel to them and he plundered the camp of the enemy. The devil thought he had those people in chains. He thought that they were done for the rest of their life. They're going to stay in hell. And Jesus shows up with the keys and he's like, sorry, big boy, you're going to have to step out of the way because these right here, I'm going to give them an opportunity to repent and to be reconciled to the Father. But we have to realize that day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, people are being drawn to death right in front of our eyes. But you can be a part of the solution. One plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. We can't get frustrated when they don't respond the way we want them to respond. We can't be embarrassed about it. We need to deliver. You have a mandate on your life to deliver those who are being drawn away. Then he says, hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. That word hold back, I love the ESV says rescue those who are being who are stumbling to the slaughter. So you have some that are being drawn away, and then you have some that are stumbling there. That word stumbling, it would be meaning that they're just sinning their way into hell. There are some people that are being drawn away, that are being led away, meaning they're being deceived. Okay, people that live in the Mormon faith, people that live in, you know, thinking that Jesus the Messiah has not already come, they live in Judaism, they're living in deception. People that are living according to Satanism, people that are going to churches that are not preaching the full gospel, they're being drawn away, and we need to plunder them from the camp of the enemy. But then it says, rescue those who are stumbling, meaning those that maybe they know the truth, but they just sin and sin and sin, and they're staying in their sin and they're stumbling themselves right to the slaughter block. They think that that they're going the right way, you know, because man thinks that there's a right way, but the end thereof is death. And they're stumbling and they're stumbling. And It says rescue, which I love that word rescue because it means all your childhood dreams of being a superhero can come true. You can rescue somebody. You can be a spiritual hero and rescue them from the throes of death. But I love this. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, staying in the theme of Proverbs. Let's go there and read that really quickly. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. I thought about this scripture this morning as I was preparing for this. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And this is kind of weird, this next phrase. It seems random. It seems out of place almost for the rest of this proverb. And it says, and he who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. I want to commission you, because Jesus has already done so. I'm not overstepping my authority, but Jesus commissioned us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, to win souls for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what we need to do is we need to consult the Lord for the wisdom that we need to accomplish the task that he has placed on us. We need to ask him, he who wins souls is wise, meaning you can't win souls unless you are led by the spirit of wisdom that the book of Proverbs chapter 8 talks about. Did you know that wisdom, and this is getting into another teaching, you know that wisdom is not an attribute, it's a spirit. It's a spirit. Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom, she lifts up her voice, and it talks about the spirit of wisdom. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays for the Ephesians that they would receive the spirit of wisdom. So wisdom is not an attribute that you can learn from a book. It's a spirit that God will give you, that he created, that he will fill you with, just like he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. He will fill you with the spirit of wisdom, because if you go to the book of James, it says if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. And so we can have wisdom, but what we need to do is we need to ask him, how do I effectively minister to people around me? God, give me wisdom. Give me that spirit of wisdom so that when I walk into work, instead of just saying, hey, Joe, how you doing today? How do I reach Joe that I've been sitting next to for 10, 15 years that I know he's not living for God, that I know that he's just recently gone through a rough divorce. I know that he has a drinking problem. I know that he's not living for the Lord. How do I minister to him, God? Instead of racking your brain and trying to do it in your own strength, which is just small and you're going to fail and you're going to faint, ask him, God, give me the wisdom, because he who wins souls must have wisdom. So how do I have the wisdom to reach Joe that I have not reached for 15 years of working with him? How do I minister to my neighbor that just lost their job? God, give me wisdom to know, how do I win souls? How do I minister, God, to the recently widowed woman who I met in the checkout line before I got to the counter? And she just begins to open up because she's lonely and she's scared and she's depressed and she's worried. How do I minister to her instead of just going, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that? There's nothing wrong with compassion. There's nothing wrong with saying, but how do we go a step further? Just like on Sunday morning, we talked about sharing our bread, but then he says, no, he who shares his soul, he who gives his soul, how do we give what we have inside of us? God, give us wisdom to win souls. You know, the media calls you and me evangelicals. I'm sure you've heard that if you've watched the news at all over the past. They'll say things like, Trump does very well with evangelical voters, right? They call us evangelicals. But I fear that we've become evangelicals in name only. We're not evangelistic enough. It's a title. It's something that we're labeled as. Charles Spurgeon said this, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Meaning either you're sharing your faith, you're ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you're a fake, right? You're not a real Christian. Jesus commissioned us by saying in Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You have to realize it wasn't just the 12 standing there in that moment. It was a multitude of people. He wasn't just talking to the 12 apostles. He was talking to a broader multitude, and he told all of them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not just pastors, not just apostles, not just teachers, but every single one of us is commissioned. What he did is he turned those people in that moment from consumers into distributors. He changed them. He said, I want you to, you've been following me. You've been listening to me. You've been consuming what I'm teaching you. But now what you've consumed, it's time to distribute. You see, we've developed a church culture that is consumer driven. But when we consume and consume and consume great worship and preaching and teaching, what happens is you get lazy and you get unhealthy. Just like in a natural sense, if you consume calories without distributing energy, you'll get lazy and you'll get unhealthy, right? You eat and you fill your body so that you have energy to go do things, to distribute energy. But in the church, we sit back and we just get fed and get fed and get fed and get fed. And we wonder why we're so lazy and why we're so lethargic and why we're so not useful to the kingdom. It's because we're just consuming and consuming. But you weren't made to just consume, consume. You have to consume. I'm not taking away from the consumers. But you have to consume in order to distribute. But you consume so that you can distribute the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have people that have been sitting in pews for 30 years hearing the gospel without ever once sharing it. That's unhealthy. Imagine if you ate for 30 years and you never got up from that seat. You wouldn't still be living. You wouldn't. You would eat yourself to death. You were made to consume so that you can distribute. And it's the same way with the gospel. We can't just consume and consume. And listen, I met with Pastor Frankie yesterday. And we had a great time. And we were talking a little bit about this, about how there are some people that consume too much preaching. It's possible to consume too much preaching. They just listen to it. Because what happens is if you consume without distributing, it becomes unhealthy. And you need time for recreation. You need time with your family. You can't just fill yourselves with the word. You've got to distribute. And so the body of Christ resembles an unhealthy body in many ways that just consumes and doesn't distribute. You see, we go to church weekend, I say we, I'm not pointing a finger at you, but the church in general, the church in America, goes to church week in and week out getting filled with the word, but then goes out into the community and refuses to share the gospel. That's shameful. In fact, Paul put it this way. He said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. That word woe means shame on me. I'm embarrassed if I don't preach the gospel. You know why? Because he who's forgiven much loves much. And we should love much. I'm not beating you up. What I'm doing is I'm urging you and encouraging you, like Paul did to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work. Listen, so often we leave evangelism for the evangelist. But Timothy was a pastor, had the gift of a pastor. In fact, some people say he pastored a church of over 20,000 people while he was in his 20s. So he was a pastor. It was his heart. It was his gift. It was his office. It was his calling. But Paul still said, do the work of an evangelist. So whether you're an evangelist or not, you have a responsibility and a mandate on yourself to deliver those who are being drawn away, to rescue those that are stumbling to the chopping block, if you would. Share the gospel. I want to just encourage you, share the gospel every chance you get, every opportunity that you have. When Jesus touched somebody's life, they couldn't help but share what he had done. Even times when Jesus said, do not tell anybody, the next verse says, they ran and they told everybody. Because when you've been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, you cannot help but tell somebody else. But the problem is we got changed one time and we refused to change anything else. All we wanted to change was the roll call in heaven. But we need to be renewed and changed day by day. There should be fresh revelation every single day in our life so that there's always something new to share, always something that's burning inside of our heart. You know, we don't come to church to fulfill a mark on a calendar. I think we've got to change the way we come to church. That's why I talked a couple weeks ago about the Song of Ascents. They prepared themselves to worship on the way to worship. We've got to come to church differently, because here's why we come to church. And here's why I want you to come to church. Here's what I want to happen at church: to get filled with faith and to get filled with the presence of God so that we can return to the world full of power and full of faith. We don't come in here just because it's Wednesday night at 6:30 or it's Sunday morning at 10. We come in here because there's something that happens when God's people get together and faith is built and fellowship happens and the word of God is preached and the presence of God is there and we get charged up so that we can return to the world full of power. My prayer, I prayed this today, and my prayer is that you would leave this place every Sunday, every single Wednesday, full of the power and the presence of God, ready to set the world on fire and reach the lost for Jesus Christ. So your responsibility when you come to church is this: to come hungry, to come open, to come expecting, and to come ready to bring a sacrifice of praise. If you come to church hungry, open, expecting, and with a sacrifice, you will experience God every single time you come to church. The worship team shouldn't have to pep rally you into worship. And I was honestly so pleased with tonight because I felt that desire to worship God. So I'm not coming down on you. I'm reminding you. It's good to be reminded. We need to come into the house of God ready to bring a sacrifice of praise, ready to receive. John Bevere tells a story. After he had first gotten married and really got on fire for God. How many of you guys have heard of John Bevere or read one of his books or heard one of his teachings? He's so smart, so smart. He was an engineer before he was a preacher, and he's very gifted and anointed. But he had just started really studying the Bible and started preaching a little bit. And he told us he would go home every Sunday. "I just didn't get fed today, babe. I just didn't get fed. The word just didn't really speak to me today. I don't know. I think pastor's just, I don't know. It's just not inspired. It's just not anointed." This went on for months and months and months. And one day, God told him, he said, "John, the seed isn't bad on Sunday mornings. Your soil is bad on Sunday mornings. It's not that." And he said he went to church that day, that next Sunday morning. And he said, "God, whatever the pastor says, I want to receive it." And he said, it was like, "Is this the same guy that was preaching last week? This is good. This is anointed. This is great. This is life-changing." He's like, "Babe, are you taking notes? This is good stuff." Like, he was just on fire because he realized the seed is never, if the truth of the Word of God is being read and preached, it's all about the soil. When the sower went out to sow in the parable of the sower, he sowed the same seed on the rocky ground as he did on the ground that received 30, 60, 100 fold. It was all about the soil. So sometimes it's not that the seed is bad. We go to church and, "Oh, I just wasn't really inspired by that sermon today." Listen, it's not about who's preaching. Whether it's me, whether it's Pastor Madison, whether it's Pastor Lauren, whether we have a guest in here. I'm not saying this so that you respect and honor me. That's not what I'm saying. Whoever is preaching. If the Word of God is being preached, you need it in your life. And you need to decide before you ever go to that service, before you ever turn on that sermon, whatever God says, I need it. And I'm going to apply it and I'm going to obey it. So church isn't a burden or a responsibility. It's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to become prepared to fulfill the Great Commission. And we're called to be His witnesses. That's so amazing. That's what Jesus said in the book of Acts. We always focus on you'll receive power from on high. Praise God. We're Pentecostal. We're going to get that power. But He also said, you're going to be my witnesses. Which, if you don't have something to do, what are you going to do with the power? He gave us the power so that we could be the witnesses. So that we could, and what do we say? I want to witness to people. I want to share the gospel with people. He wants you to represent Him to the world. Think about that. That's what that word witness actually means, martyr. So, you know, but He wants us to represent Him to the world because He was a martyr. That's what Jesus was. He was martyred for us. Verse 12, and I'll begin to wrap this up back in Proverbs 24. Because this is very important right here. Because all this is great. It's awesome. Sweet. I want to deliver people. I want to plunder the enemy. I want to do all that. But then in verse 12, I love what he follows this up with. And it's interesting because talking about being in Proverbs, some Proverbs, every verse stands alone. And then you'll find just this little stanza of verses that go together. Well, this verse, 10 through 12, go together. You can actually see your Bible will break it up if a verse is standalone or if it goes together. And verse 12 coincides with 10 and 11. If you say, "Surely we didn't know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds?" Meaning, you can't use the excuse, "I didn't know I needed to minister. I didn't know I needed to deliver. I didn't know I needed to hold back. I didn't know I needed to rescue. I didn't know I needed to witness. I didn't know I needed to share the gospel." He's saying, you can say that, but I know, and I will render to each person according to their deeds. Which when he's talking about that, he's talking about one day in heaven. He will render to you here on earth and in heaven according to your deeds. So there's no excuse. So stop saying, "I'm not good at it." Stop saying it's not my personality. Listen, personality has nothing to do with responsibility. We have a responsibility as the people of Christ. And listen, I am taking this personally in my life. I'm not just standing up here telling you this. God has been convicting me and really speaking to me, and I'm trying to put this into practice. I'm not up here trying to come down on you and look at me and you have to do this, but I don't have to do this. I am trying to take this to heart, and I want you to take it to heart. We have no excuse for not sharing the gospel. We must preach the gospel. So now, especially after tonight, you can't say, I didn't know, because you know, and you are called, you are chosen, you are needed. He will equip you with exactly what you need. I love what Jesus told the disciples. He said, they're going to beat you and they're going to drag you before the courts and the Sanhedrin. Don't prepare what to say beforehand. The Holy Spirit will show you in the exact moment what it is that you need to say. That's the scripture that I've always leaned on for witnessing. I've realized that sometimes I have no idea how to do it, but the second I open my mouth, it just begins to happen. I remember one time when God first spoke that scripture to me, don't prepare beforehand what to say. We were going to Mardi Gras to minister. And the Lord spoke that to me. And I'd always struggled with street evangelism, just walking up to somebody and starting a conversation. That just wasn't my personality. It wasn't my thing. I wasn't good at it. But he gave me that scripture. Well, I went to Mardi Gras and nothing happened. I didn't talk to anybody hardly. I just kind of walked around and ate beignets and prayed. And other people had great encounters. But I remember I got home. And I was a teenager and I went to the mall and I start walking past this guy and the Lord was like, go talk to that guy. And I went and I talked to him and I remember praying for him and he breaks down in tears and I just begin to minister to him right there in the mall. But it was because of that scripture that God had given me in the moment. And sometimes we think, okay, I'm going to go tonight. I'm going to go pick up a pizza on the way home. I'm going to lead that person at the cash register to the Lord. Well, you might plant a seed, but you might not yet reap the harvest. But the time will come when you will, as you continue to sow seeds, because you cannot reap a harvest unless you sow seeds. So just keep sowing seeds, keep sowing seeds. Even you might get frustrated the next 2 weeks. You might not, everybody might blow you off. Everybody might brush you away, but you just decide, I'm going to keep sowing because one sows, one waters. This time I might be watering it, but eventually God's going to give the increase. But how will they hear unless there's a preacher? Because you never know if you go in and you order a pizza and they brush you off and then Jeff comes in right after you and he orders a pizza and Jeff gets to lead him to the Lord. Don't be mad at Jeff. He was just, you made the way. It's like every time you open a can for somebody and they go, well, I loosened it up for you. You just loosened the can up for Jeff. That's what's happening. But you just keep planting. You just keep sowing. You just keep watering and realize we are the light that is needed in the world. The light, he didn't give you light just so you could have light. He gave you light so that you could give light to other people. Amen. Stand to your feet with me this evening. I really, really hope you don't feel like I'm coming down on you. If you do, just realize I'm not. Toughen up a little bit. In a world full of snowflakes, be a 9-pound hammer, right? No. Would you just close your eyes and let's pray tonight. God, we pray for souls. God, souls, souls, souls. God, let us shine like a light, God, not to glorify ourselves, but that people would see you inside of us. God, forgive us for our lackadaisicalness. God, forgive us for being consumers only and not realizing that we consume so we can distribute, so that we can give. God, your word told us, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And God, we want to do that in the ways of your kingdom. God, we want to see souls get saved. Just like in the book of Acts in the church, it says thousands of souls were added on a daily basis. God, may we see 1,000 souls added to the kingdom of God in 2021 in DeKalb County and the surrounding regions. God, give us a special anointing to lead people to Jesus, not just in the church, but outside of the church, God, because Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, in Jerusalem, and all to the uttermost parts of the earth. God, we are in the uttermost parts of the earth away from Jerusalem where he spoke that, but I believe you are calling us to be your witnesses, and you're going to lead us to lead people to Jesus. So God, we just cry out for souls right now as your church. God, we don't ask for money. We don't ask for fame. God, we don't ask for anything other than give us souls. God, give us your presence. God, allow us to lead people to you, God. And we pray right now. We want to be faithful to pray that you would give us a home, God, that you would give us a church building, God, a place that we can say, come into, just like this Good Samaritan took that man to the inn. God, give us an inn to take people to bandage their wounds, to counsel them, to see them baptized in the Holy Spirit, God, to find a home, to find a family. God, I pray that you would just do miraculous things in 2021, God, in our midst, through our lives. God, we say now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. God, let that power go to work. Let us not consume only, but let us distribute the power that you have given to us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, lift up his face upon you. And we already sang it earlier, but may he give you peace, and may he go before you, and may you win souls, and may he give you the wisdom that you need to win those souls. In Jesus' name, amen.